I'ma get it, you know I be on the way. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Spoiler Warning Podcast. This is review number 766 with a review of The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Nailed it.
I'm Christopher Schnazy.
And I'm Stephen Miller.
And if you're joining us for the first time, the Spoiler Warning Podcast is a weekly film review program. Each week on the show, we're going to dive in, debate, discuss, and argue over the latest films coming to a theater near you. As I stumbled through describing, this episode is going to be about a little film called The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. And yeah, it's the latest film directed by Guy Ritchie. So to start off, Steven, you fancy yourself a fan of the works of Guy Ritchie?
Yeah, I mean, certainly not a unanimous fan. I don't know if anyone can truly claim to be a fan of every single thing he does. But obviously, Lock, Stock, and Snatch were two movies that I was super into. You know, I had a ton of fun with them. When I caught up with them kind of late, too. Like, it was nowhere near when they came out. It was many years later I started watching. You know, I have not seen The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which is his other collaboration with Henry Cavill. Maybe there are even more that I'm unfamiliar with. but I haven't seen that one. But like, he always, every movie of his I've seen, even Aladdin, which was like definitely pretty bad, they've all been fun, even in the way they're bad. Like Sherlock Holmes, I remember having a lot of fun with the original Sherlock Holmes, for sure. Yeah. Like, it's not like it left a big mental impression. It's not like I have thoughts of, oh my God, you gotta check out Sherlock Holmes. But it is a pop fun time. And I feel like Guy Ritchie, The Gentleman, was the same way. Like, do I remember a lot of the plot? No. Did I have a lot of fun in the theater with whatever that was? Even though I remember being kind of problematic? Like, yeah, I had fun with it, for sure. And that is kind of what I expect from Guy Ritchie, is he's going to be a workman. He makes the movie that, no matter what, is fun. Whether it's, like, good or mediocre, it's not going to be boring. And so, yeah, like, I'm not really a big fan, but I'm always fine to go check out whatever the latest thing he did is. How about you?
Yeah, I'm pretty much in that same boat. I mean, like, if I see Guy Ritchie's name on something, I'm gonna be curious, at least, right? Mm-hmm. I'm Guy curious.
You're Guy curious. Oh, you beat me.
But yeah, it's always a thing where it's like, as you said, he's gonna do something that's at least gonna be interesting. And some of his things that, like, not everybody is on board with, I genuinely have a really good fun time with, like King Arthur. I had an amazing time with that.
Yeah, I never saw it, but canonically you loved it. Like, that is something, yeah, I remember about 2017.
Yeah, it was like I was kind of just like, oh, this will be fun, and I kind of was like, all right, that was pretty rad. I'm into this. Like you, you know, Snatch and Lock, Stock were sort of my entry points of just, yeah, like, obsession over those films. And I kind of have kind of gone out in either direction from there. And yeah, I'm always excited for what's going to happen. You know, the trailer for this looked pretty fun. I was like, Guy Ritchie's got another thing. I was a little bit confused by if he, as we were joking before the episode started, of whether he's only working on things with gentlemen in the title now. Yep. So we'll see where he goes from here. But yeah, I wouldn't say I was excited, because I didn't really see a lot leading into this film. It was just one of those things where I was like, oh yeah, that movie that I just heard about is out now and Guy Ritchie directed it. So
yeah,
I guess we'll see what's going to happen.
Totally. One thing that is confusing when talking about Guy Ritchie is the two TV shows he has been a part of are Lock, Stock and The Gentleman. So they just reused the title of his movies and turned them into TV shows, which makes it really hard to specify what you're talking about. But I have not watched the TV show The Gentleman. I've only watched the movie The Gentleman.
I have also not watched it's on Netflix, right? It's a Netflix show?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
I've not perused those particular gentlemen, just The Gentleman 2019.
Cool. Well, we have a few what are they? They're ungentlemanly.
Oh, yeah.
Warfarists?
Ministers.
yeah, ministers. So yeah, we have this new film coming out that just came out that we saw that we're going to talk about right now. Before I keep stumbling through this, Stephen, would you like to just get started?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Let's take a listen to the trailer for The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, and then come back and give everybody our thoughts on the film.
Gus March Phillips, I have a mission I want you to lead. Thank you, Sergeant.
What's the plan?
to neutralize the German U-boats in the North Atlantic.
We're losing the war. Hitler is not playing by the rules, so neither are we.
We both know that I'm not very popular with the administration.
The reason they find you unattractive is the very reason I find you attractive.
If I'm to do this, I'll need my own team. You won't like them. They're all...
No!
Mad.
They'll need to be.
This is an unsanctioned, unauthorized mission. If we fail, England will be condemned to a lifetime under the German boot.
And so I said, that is not a dog. That is my wife!
It's very good.
Operation are reckless.
Abort this mission now.
Hello, can't hear you.
Please do off.
All right. One last time. That was the trailer for The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. And reading the description from IMDb, the British military recruits a small group of highly skilled soldiers to strike against German forces behind enemy lines during World War II. Stephen Miller, what did you think of, once again, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare?
Yeah, I mean, so first off, this movie was obviously pretty stupid. I'm not even saying that as a negative or a criticism. We should just acknowledge that it is. It's like a kind of dumb action film. It claims, I don't remember how strongly, because I kind of wasn't paying attention to the opening credits until like maybe the second title card came up. It claims to be based on a true story from Operation Postmaster, which was declassified in 2016.
Yeah.
And the whole time I watched it, I kind of assumed the end was going to be a just kidding, this was all made up. Like I assumed it was going to be like, they were making almost a fake true story that at the end Guy Ritchie would be like, obviously I'm just fucking with you. This is a historical revisionistic, this is my Inglourious Bastards, which is a comparison I'm sure many people will make, not in terms of quality necessarily, but certainly in terms of the joy of watching a bunch of Nazis get murdered.
This movie definitely doesn't end with anybody looking into the camera and saying, this is my masterpiece.
Right. And like, I briefly perused the true story on Wikipedia afterwards, and you know, it has very little similarity to anything about this movie except for the name of some people and the fact that a boat was stolen. Like, obviously this is a super heightened fun action movie version of like a real thing that happened, but none of the details really have anything to do with which is totally fine. It's a superhero movie. It's a ridiculous fun superhero movie where they assemble a team, they go out to kill Nazis, and the number of kill to hero doing the killing ratio that puts like Lone Survivor to shame. It's like unbelievable. It's like nonstop. They're just mowing people down.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like high art. It's not a real biopic. It's not anything, but it is definitely a fun romp. Like, I never did not have fun watching this movie, even as when like plot things were happening and seemed kind of obvious. I was maybe tuning out a little bit when people weren't either in like a stylized party setting or shooting people. But it was fun. It was fun. This is totally the kind of movie I can imagine like watching at home on TV and having a blast with. I'm going to spoil a great scene, maybe the best scene in the movie. It happens early enough. And I just want to talk about what kind of movie this is. So I'm sorry if you're a purist out there, but I don't think this is really going to ruin anything.
I have a feeling it's the same scene I was going to talk about, but go ahead.
The scene is early in the movie. They are making a plan to rescue someone from a Nazi war camp. And so they're making a plan to infiltrate it. And they're talking about, okay, it's heavily armed. There's this many barracks. So what we're going to do is a night raid. You know, we sneak in, sneak out. We're only going to take down this many people. We can do it and get out before anyone notices. And while they're making that plan, Alan Ritchson, who I have never seen Reacher, so this was my first experience with that, like, enormous bear of a man, and God bless him, love him. Alan Ritchson has just killed two people with a bow and arrow, which forces them to just walk in and attack the entire barracks at the same time in broad daylight. And that's just, like, the kind of movie this is there, and there's a swagger to all of the action scenes, Henry Cavalier, nonchalant way that they just are like, I'm marching into certain death. I'm going to have to kill a ton of people. And they're like almost bored. You know, they're just like, they're walking slowly. They're dispensing of people. They're making a game out of it. It's like Legolas and Gimli, like, counting who can get what points or whatever. It just feels like they are, like, they're viewing this as a fun game, not as a life or death. These stakes are high. Like, they are not afraid of death, and they are also all powerful basically. And that swagger is both the highlight of the movie. Like, it's a lot of fun. It makes it be a lot of fun. And it also does make the stakes of the action be kind of non-existent, because, like, you definitely don't believe. This is not one of those movies where the hero is getting the shit beaten out of them and you are thinking, oh my God, how are they going to make it out of this? This is a movie where they are just, like, superhumanly good at everything they do. And so that's, like, a mixed bag. I like it a lot, but it does, like, dampen a little bit of the energy and fun, because it is deciding to be a little bit more, like, low energy shoot 'em up awesomeness. It's like doing an interesting combo of things. Personnel wise, other than Alan Ritchson and Henry Cavill, both of whom are amazing, I also really want to highlight Aiza Gonzalez, the kind of female lead of this movie, who plays yet again an impossibly amazing spy, who, she is a brilliant shooter. She is, like, incredibly intelligent. She's witty. She's quick on her feet. She's beautiful. She does everything. And it is really fun watching her work. And there are scenes in this movie where she's undercover, where she's at parties, that are just, like, stylized and so much fun. Like, there are points in this movie where I'm just like, okay, you are doing what more accomplished movies have done, but you're hitting that same level of joy and swagger and fun. Guy Ritchie knows how to shoot a scene. Like, he knows how to make things look good. So, yeah, like, I'm being pretty positive. I also think there is definitely a ceiling of how good it is, because this is, like, a dumb movie that is kind of intentionally undercutting itself, and it's not looking to tickle your brain. It's not looking to do anything really new. It's just looking to be fun, watch a bunch of Nazis get completely demolished. Good time. And I think it succeeded in that relatively low but still important bar of being a fun shoot 'em up. How about you? How did you feel?
Yeah, I mean, when this film started off, I was kind of vibing with it, right? It was like I was even thinking way before the moment you were talking about. So we were actually going to talk about different scenes. Just the first recruitment scene for Henry Cavill's character, when he's just in there and he's just, like, hanging out in the room where, like, he knows he already has the job, even though he doesn't know what the job is. And he's kind of walking around. He's just, like, trying to steal cigars and take that guy's lighter. And, like, you know, just, he's just owning a room. And it's like, the guy who is the one recruiting him knows he's like that. And he's like, just go with it. It's fine. We need this guy. And then he's sort of just, like, chewing the room. Like, there's a part where he leaves that room and he tries to offer one of the guards a cigar. And he's like, hell no, I'm not giving you a cigar. And he just walks out.
Yeah.
I was like, if this is the whole movie, I'm fucking here for it. Like, this is just great. Like, he's literally chewing the scenery, and it's just, like, an amazing vibe to what these characters are going. Once we get into the actual story and the action and stuff like that, there was something weird about it where you're talking about it. It's all heightened, and it's sort of like, you know, obviously these guys are superheroes. They did everything in the world. Like, one of the characters is literally what James Bond is based off of. Kind of like, you know, we're sort of taking for granted how good they were, and just showing you, like, we are watching the story those characters would have told about themselves while drinking. Right. You know, like, that's kind of what we're seeing. And on paper, I think that 100% works. But for me, like, I still enjoyed it. Like, the characters are exciting enough to kind of keep me propelled through this story. but it all felt a little substanceless. Like, mm-hmm.
yeah,
like they're like, okay, guys, we got to bust this dude out because he's the best plan maker. He's like the A-team dude who can mm-hmm. do the plan, and we can't do it without the plan. At one point, they're like, guys, we got to make it there in 15 days. And they're like, oh, my God, no, now we have to make it there in 13 days. What's the plan? He's like, we'll just take a more direct route. It's like, that's the whole plan? Like, there's never, like, when somebody's
he
like...
He pays off later. There is an actual contingency plan later in this movie that he pulls off.
There is, but it feels so weird. Like, their entire plan is just like, we'll just go in and blow shit up. That's the plan. Yeah. And, like, yeah.
Yeah, the whole movie is basically like, all right, then. You know, that's, like, the vibe of the movie. It's just like, yeah. All right. I'm going to kill some people.
yeah. And it's like, that is fun. You talked a little bit about how, like, they're kind of just all powerful. And when it first starts and they're just, like, nonchalantly walking through and just obliterating Nazis, it feels kind of fun and kind of cool, right? Like there's the part where he's, like, not even looking and he's just shooting behind him yeah. and, like, killing people. And you're like, yeah, that's pretty funny. But there gets to be a point where you haven't got to Family Guy territory yet, where you're like, okay, it's no longer funny. It's been going on for too long, and they've never run once. They're just walking and shooting every single person. No one gets tagged in the shoulder to, like, go like, oh, shoot, and then their friend goes, no, and then, like, shoots the guys, right? It's just, they always have the jump on everybody. They're yeah. always shooting everybody faster than they can be shot. And I'm like, eventually, I'm like, I'm not even worried about the stakes. I'm just tired of it by that point uh-huh, in time. And uh-huh. it's like one of those things where it's like the fun and excitement is no longer working on me because you can't sustain. It's not getting bigger. It's staying the same always. And you're just watching it be the same. And there was something a little bit weird about it. Like, every character is big and larger than life and fun. And I like them all. But when they're all like that... It's not one weirdo in the group or, you know, a couple hotheads and then, like, other people who are like, no, you guys got to stay. It's just a bunch of characters doing their character thing. And it's kind of like, for me, Henry Cavill's character is the fun one who is driving everything forward. All the other characters are wild for their moments. And then, like, the head of the government group and, like, Churchill are, like, pretty fun. Just the way they talk about everything, as a matter of fact, like, we're doing fun stuff right now. You know, like, mm-hmm. it's like all the pieces work individually, but you can't have that many, like call outs that are like everything is trying to steal the scene. And when everything right. tries to steal the scene, nothing is stealing the scene. And it was kind of like, eventually I just got tired of it. And I still enjoyed myself. It's just one of those things where it's like, I couldn't ride a high from this film because it felt weird. It also seemed like it was all on a set somewhere. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't feel like this was a real port town anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was like, it felt like in the old Western movies, right? Where you roll into town, it's like, there's the saloon, there's the bank, there's the jail, and that's it. You know, like, that's kind of how their port town felt like. And I was like, I don't get. And I get that German U-boats need air filters.
Yeah.
But to me, like, you know, it's not the, what was the boat that got stuck in the Panama Canal? Like, it's not.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not like a thing where you're like, oh, you're telling me the entire supply chain shut down because one thing blocked a port. Like, it just feels like I don't buy that this is that important, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they're not breaking the Enigma machine.
That is almost one weird thing, and that is not a criticism I would give to this movie normally, but its desire to tell something about the true story maybe hurt it, because if you were inventing this, you would not pick air filters. You would say, like, this boat contains all the fuel that the Nazi party has. You know, you would do something that's a little bit easier to comprehend about why it is needed for U-boats. And instead, as far as I can tell, of course, the true story, it was multiple boats, so it was already more complicated, but it did have something to do with, like, taking this crucial supply, you know?
Yeah.
And it works in part because people don't expect it, right? Like, yes, I'm sure it was guarded. I'm sure it was nowhere near as fired after as the actual movie portrays it, but it's, like, taking a thing that no one else would think was an Achilles heel, and so therefore no one was making a big deal about, and, you know, that's part of the charm. But so also, you said it. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't want to be too spoilery, right? But the idea is that there's a boat that has like all the air filters that all the U-boats need, right? And I know you already said that like it, in real life it was multiple boats, but let's just pretend like it's one boat. Let's pretend that your idea is to sink that boat. Then let's pretend that you find out that for some reason you won't be able to sink the boat, right? Wouldn't you just take all your bombs and put them inside where all the air filters are?
Like, good question. I don't know how powerful the bombs are. I had the same hypothetical thought.
But like you can blow up the air filter so without having to sink the boat, right? Like that's
yeah.
It just seems like their mission could have gone off exactly the way they expected, and they wouldn't have had to improvise. Mm-hmm. And it's just I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. No, I don't have a good answer to that. I definitely thought that too. Though I guess. I didn't read in depth, but it does seem like they did improvise maybe in the real story. So there's probably stuff I don't understand about it. But yeah, this movie, like you said you couldn't ride a high for this movie. And I agree. Like this movie wasn't a high. This was a night of having a bunch of watery pints with your boys and trading stories and laughing. Like that was the vibe of this movie. It is sloppy and entertaining and kind of droning on a little too long, but it's like a good time if you're vibing with it. And that's kind of how I felt about it. Like I don't really disagree with anything you said. Like they are undercutting the, you know, there is a one noteness to the action. I do feel like there's enough variety because the plan and the what is going to happen changes enough that it's like, even though they are this force of impossibly perfect warriors who don't even give a shit that they're impossibly perfect warriors, like the question of what is the movie going to do with them was still like just barely enough to keep me not on the edge of my seat. But, you know, I was like halfway scooted in my seat. You know, I was like, I was interested enough. I wasn't just completely laying back. But yeah, it's a relatively low bar to clear. The vibe of this movie is basically a bunch of people saying like, and then this happened, and then this fucking happened, and then this fucking happened. It's like everything goes wrong, but they kick ass anyway. And that's kind of that is the story, which your mileage may vary on it, but I like had a lot of fun. It sounds like you still had fun, even though like it didn't really maybe hold you quite as well as it held my attention.
I had enough fun with it, but it also kind of perplexed me. Like while I'm watching it, I'm like, you needed to bust out a guy to come up with this plan. I couldn't shut off all of my brain to just purely enjoy it. It was like one of those things where I was like, so hold on a second. You're telling me that the key to the war is just this one little boat hanging out in a harbor at this little town? Like, I don't know.
I'm sure also the movie drastically overstates how much this was the key to the war rather than like just one mission.
yeah, for sure. But it's like the characters are like over embellished, but like the actual plot isn't.
Right.
It feels weird.
Yeah, it definitely is a little bit. There are some cool elements that I wanted to highlight. I guess just one, actually. There is... In a thing that seems like it would have come from one of Ian Fleming's like Bond novels, there is a suitcase in this movie that is hollow and used to steal other suitcases, which I thought was fucking rad. That is a great spy trick. There also, I do not think there's a side plot involving like a Nazi captain and like how do people distract him and stuff that I thought was fine. Like it was very paint by numbers or whatever. Even though I think the actress at the heart of it is a lot of fun to watch. There is one reveal moment, like there's one oh shit moment that happens kind of late in the movie of a slip up that I actually thought was executed pretty well. Even like logically, I see problems with it, but the way the scene turns and in that moment was something that I enjoyed. You seem perplexed, so maybe you don't feel the same.
It's not this Phil's version of this from the other movie, right?
It is basically okay. Yeah.
I'll tell you offline. It didn't vibe with me though.
Okay, that's fine.
I didn't buy it.
That's fine. Well, one thing that didn't vibe with me too, and this is going to be the second Guy Ritchie review we've done in a row where I have this, for very different reasons, I think this movie is a little tone deaf in its handling of race, like maybe not intentionally. What I mean by that is all the main guys who are, you know, white guys, and I think Henry Golding's there too, so there's an Asian dude in the mix. they are having this swaggering good time. It's like fun for them. It's chill. The more battles get intense, the more it's just kind of like funny and silly. There is also this small crew of West African guys that have been brought with them, multiple of whom are getting riddled with bullets in our view behind them. And that combination of vibes of we're all having a swaggering good time while like there was just something about it that felt like the nonchalantness. It felt like they could have done either just don't show us those guys getting mowed down or find a way to make the balance not feel like it is laughing at the fact that these people who signed up for this thing died. Like, there was just something that rubbed me the wrong way about that.
Definitely don't have Henry Cavill literally say the line, well, it's not going to go bad for us.
Yeah, exactly. It, yeah, I don't know. It just seemed very tone deaf to me. And it doesn't take up a ton of the movie, but it dampened some of the entertainment of some of the all-out craziness. Because I was like, wait, did that guy really just get shot right behind the, like that's not like fun party vibes, you know? I don't know. There was something I didn't love about that.
Yeah. Verdict time, Steven?
Sure, yeah. We've been recording for like a gentlemanly 25 minutes. That's it's fine.
All right. Then let's do it. Steven Miller, if you're gonna give this movie a must see, wreck with a caveat, wait for rental, pass with a caveat, or a must avoid, what would you give it?
I'm giving it a wait for rental, but like a wait for rental with a heart. It's like, this is fun. I had fun. This would be a fun rental. I think you'll enjoy yourself. It is not doing a whole lot. The plot kind of falls apart. It does have this tendency, which is very much intentional, of undercutting itself and intentionally kind of like deflating whatever hyper energy you might feel from epic battle scenes. Your mileage may vary on that, but I think if you are vibing with this, like a bunch of guys at the pub, like you said, who are sharing the stories of what they did rather than the reality, I think it's a fun time. I think it's entertaining. And I think overall, Guy Ritchie succeeded in making an entertaining movie. And I think Henry Cavill is a very fun lead. It makes me want to go back and watch The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and see how he was in that too. Yeah, I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, it's a wait for rental for me as well. I think that if this was purely a fully 100% not based off anything story, but was the exact same story, it would somehow be a little bit better. I feel like it feels a little bit like, and I've said this before in past films, but it's like, it just feels like the Cliff Note version of it. Like this would make a really, really good like episode of a podcast where they explain like the history behind what the James Bond characters were based off of, right? Like, oh, did you know that this character was a real guy? Let me tell you the story of what they did in World War II. Like that, that would be
how this guy stole Ian Fleming's cigar and that kicked the whole thing off.
Yeah, basically, like that would be an interesting thing to listen to. And then when you extrapolate that out to a whole film, but you don't necessarily pad it with actual more information, even if you're making up the information, it feels like it's like the entire runtime, only the shorthand version of the story takes place, but you're watching these scenes of dialogue and weird like shooting and stuff like that. And it's like, all right, that's cool. Like I'm here for it kind of, but it just didn't amount to something where I'm like walking away, kind of celebrating it and everything. So, had fun, but, could have done better.
Makes sense. It's funny that we both have the same rating, but mine feels so much more positive. It's like, this is just such a rental movie to me. Like, even liking it, I'm like, yeah, I mean, you definitely don't have to go to the theater for this.
Yeah, and, you know, when I did see it, you know, in a theater with other people, but it was one of those things where, like, nobody was seated by me, and there was, like, one guy to my left who I think was supposed to be in the seat next to me, but decided to pick the other one.
Smart. See, that's a gentlemanly move.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be invited to the team.
Yeah, I mean, I felt a little bit bad because he did buy the other companion seat before I did. But, you know, it was basically an empty theater, so I didn't feel too bad that he decided to move away from that spot. But anyways, that is our review of The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Steven Miller, if people want to find you throughout the week, where can they do that?
People can find me at Threads and Blue Sky at S. David Miller or sdavidmiller.com.
P. People can find me at ChristopherInRealLife.com or ChristopherIRL at a number of social places. You can find the podcast over at TheSpoilerWarning.com where you can get a bunch of the back episodes of the show. If you want to subscribe to the show, you can do so on Overcast, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or wherever podcasts are found. If you want to know when the episodes go live, you can follow us at Twitter.com/SpoilerWarning, Facebook.com/TheSpoilerWarning, or Instagram.com/TheSpoilerWarning. If you want to get a hold of us directly, you can send an email to fans@thespoilerwarning.com, or you can use the contact form on our site. Music for this episode will come from a track selected from artlist.io, so hopefully you're enjoying that. Yeah, we are going to take off. We're going to be doling out these episodes for a little bit, as I will be gone next week, but by the time you listen to this, I'll be back shortly. So, nice. Yeah, we'll have a new episode out soon by the time you're hearing this. So, see you soon. Bye.
See ya.